Scripture reading this morning comes from Exodus chapter 3, verse 15. That's Exodus chapter 3, verse 15. And I am reading from the New American Standard Version. And it reads, God furthermore said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations.
If you will, I'd like for you to get into your little time machines and go back with me, if you will, to the land of Egypt. And we're with the children of Jacob, Israel, being in captivity in the land of Goshen, building monuments for Pharaoh in the cities of Pithom and Ramesses. Of course, this was in the Nile Delta. Going back somewhere between 12 and 1400 years before Jesus was born. And as you may remember, Moses, as an infant, was rescued by Pharaoh's daughter. He was raised by his mother, but he was raised as a prince in Egypt. And later in his life, he was living in exile because of his killing of an Egyptian. He ends up in the wilderness around Mount Horeb, or Mount Sinai, as it is, the other name is known as. And there Moses was taken in by Jethro, who would later become his father-in-law. On a seemingly normal day, as Moses was tending sheep at the foot of Mount Sinai, he sees a unique sight. There before him is a burning bush that is not being consumed. And I'd like us to listen to the conversation as if you're standing there in Exodus 3 and verse 4. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called out to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. And then God said, Do not come near. Take off your sandals. Off your feet, for the place in which you are standing is holy ground. And then he says, I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And now going down to verse 7, he says, Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their suffering. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now verse 10. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I should go that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children out of Egypt? And God said, But I will be with you, and this shall be a sign for you that I have sent you. That when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. And Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent you to me, and they ask me, What's his name? What shall I say? And Moses, he said to And God said to Moses, he said, I am who I am. King James says, I am that I am. He said, Say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. Thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. God gives Moses his name. Ahaya, Ashar, Ahaya. We don't really know how exactly to translate the Hebrew, but there are these possibilities. I am who I am. I am that I am. I am because I am. And there are about six or seven others. We just don't know for sure what Ahaya, Ashar, Ahaya means. But what we do know is that it has something to do with existence, a presence, a being. He is the God of being, one who exists. The New Testament says he makes it possible for us to become a new creation. Then God says, "This is my name forever, for all generations." And so Moses, here as he's writing these words down, he takes this first person sentence and turns it into a third person name, Yahweh. What we know about God's name previously is that the title for God are not really names. They are just descriptive terms. Elohim in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 is plural. And even though there is one God, Elohim makes room for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Titles like El Shaddai, Adonai, Jehovah are not names. They are descriptive terms. But here in our text, it gives us God's name, his forever and ever name. This is part of a series of lessons. And in the next few lessons, we're going to see I am that I am becomes flesh and live among us. As we see where Jesus declares, I am he. I am that I am. There's an interesting verse in Exodus 6. Allow me to insert the corresponding Hebrew into verse 3. It says, I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob as God Almighty, El Shaddai. But my name, the Lord, Yahweh, I did not make myself known to them. Here in this verse, we have God saying that he was the God of the patriarchs. But today he has a new name, and a name that he will carry on forever. I don't know if you've ever noticed in your Bibles when you're reading the Old Testament or the New, that when the word Lord, all the letters are capitalized, it is referring to God himself, Yahweh. In the New Testament, you'll see Lord with the L capitalized, that is referring to God the Son. See, the name says that God is unexplainable, that he is so set apart, he is so absolutely different, so almighty, so holy and sovereign, that there are no human terms or titles that can explain him. Our vocabulary, the Hebrew vocabulary, is not adequate. Hosea 11 and verse 9 says, God is above all, that he is free from mortal imperfections and failures. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 2 declares that no one is like him. No one is as holy as God. In Isaiah 55 and verse 8, We here have God saying that my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. Listen to Isaiah 45 and verses 5 through 7. God says, I am the Lord. There is no other. There is no other God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that you may know from the rising sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light, I create darkness. I make peace, I create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. So, church, I need to ask, are we really awestruck with God and who He is? Our walk with God will be less than it could be, less than it should be, until we have a better understanding of His absolute and sovereign nature. So how should we respond when we come to understand His I Am That I Am name and nature? When God spoke to Moses at that burning bush, the first thing Moses did was fall on his face. He humbled himself before God. You know, but we don't really see humility in this life. The life of Moses until this burning bush incident. You look at the previous chapters, and Moses was pretty much just Moses. What happened when he met God face to face? When we truly come to understand who God is, we too will fall on our face. Maybe not literally, but we will fall on our face and we will become a person of humility. You show me an arrogant, prideful, egotistical, conceited, self-centered, narcissistic individual, and I'll show you someone who has not met God. Or if he has, he does not understand His name or nature. Moses hid his face. Isaiah said, woe is me. There's an interesting incident took place in John chapter 18. It was there in the garden at the time of Jesus' arrests. And Jesus asked him as these people came up, who do you seek? And they answered, Jesus the Nazarene. He said, I am He. What do you see in the next verse or the next phrase? Scriptures say that they drew back and they fell to the ground at this announcement. Now, some commentaries said that they probably fainted. You see, they knew what Jesus was claiming when He said, I am that I am, or I am He. Thomas exclaimed in John 20 and verse 28, my Lord and my God. Paul in Acts chapter 9, he fell on his face when he met Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, on that road to Damascus. And have we fallen on our faces before Him? Makes for an interesting question, doesn't it? God told Moses to remove his shoes. In Jewish culture, the soles of the shoes and the feet were the dirtiest part of the body. The Arab world still carries that thought and practice today. God is holy. And when we see his holiness along with our sin, filth, we are caused to fall before him in humility. Seeing God for who he is prompts us, compels us to confess our sins and worship and serve him. In Isaiah chapter 6, King Uzziah, he dies. And Isaiah, he's sitting in the temple to consult God on how to handle the situation. And sure enough, God shows up and strange things begin to happen. A six-winged seraphim begins flying around the temple, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." The foundations of the temple begin to shake. The room starts to fill with smoke. And at this, Isaiah, he says, "Woe is me, I'm a sinful, wicked man, and I have seen the Lord." And one of the angelic beings takes coal from the altar and touches it to his lips, symbolically cleansing him of his sins and forgiving him. And as this happens, the Lord had a commission. Whom will I send? And Isaiah responds, "Here am I, Lord, send me." When we see the I am that I am, we will not have to be begged to confess and acknowledge our sins. We would not have to beg or confess. We would not have to worry about being born again in New Testament baptism. We won't have to be begged to come to worship or be begged to serve the kingdom on earth. We will be just like Isaiah. "Here am I, send me." Knowing the great I am helps us to understand that God is working on our behalf. We're all familiar with the account of Job and what that man went through. And understandably so, Job was angry at God because of his loss and suffering. And he demands an answer to his circumstances. He asks the why question. Why is this happening to me? You know what? God shows up. God shows up. Then in Job 42 and verse 6, Job says, "I abhor myself. I repent in dust and ashes. I speak no more." Job finally came to know God's help, the God's truth that we find in Romans 8:28. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Knowing Yahweh, knowing God ultimately helps us to understand that he is at work, even in life's tough times, to remake, remold, and to reshape us into the people and the person that God wants us to be. Now, we can't blame God for our worldly condition. The prophet Habakkuk, he was a witness to Nebuchadnezzar's carrying off of the young princes of Judah. Princes like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. He's watching them all go. And he sees all kinds of injustice taking place. And in essence, he's kind of saying, God, I don't like what I'm seeing down here. There's injustice everywhere I look. And I'm going to sit right here on this wall until I hear from you, until you come and explain yourself to me and what you're going to do about it. God shows up. In Habakkuk 3 and verse 16, Habakkuk says, my lips quivered, my belly trembled, and my bones were filled with rottenness. Oh, what a terrible meeting that must have been. How often do we demand things from God? What if we are being demanding of Him, and what if He shows up? Will our lips quiver? Will our belly tremble? Well, we feel like our bones are full of rottenness. The I am that I am is working in this world today. Whether we want to believe it or not, it may not even seem like it. With everything that's going on, it might not even seem like it. But God can control all things that He chooses, including nature. There's a storm raging. This little boat on the Sea of Galilee is in danger of sinking. And the disciples are hanging around and they're afraid. And they look down at Jesus who's asleep and they say, Master, don't you care? We're going to drown. Jesus woke up. He said, peace, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped. The waters calmed down. The clouds rolled away and the moon started to shine. The Bible says that they feared exceedingly, or as the King James says, they were sorely afraid. These disciples on that boat saw something just like what Moses and Isaiah saw. And they understood, and there they stood in the wonderment before the great I am. Do we stand in awe and wonderment of His nature? When we see, I am that I am, for who He really is, we will become a different people. Listen carefully to the verses in Revelation chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. It says, before the throne were four living creatures. Each had six wings and were covered with eyes all around, even under their wings. Day and night they never stopped, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. If in heaven those around the phone, if those around the phone are never stop saying and praising praises to God and serving God day in and day out, who are we to ignore Him? When we see God for who He really is, we too will become a changed people. We will never stop honoring and thanking Him who sits on the throne. These next few weeks, we're going to hold Jesus up as the I am that I am. And we're going to see how He meets our needs. Is Jesus meeting your needs today for forgiveness? Is he directing your walk because he is living in you? Do you have that hope of heaven? As a child of God, have you forgotten these things? And if you're not a child of God, all things are possible by faith and repentance and a new birth and water baptism for the sins to be washed away. Just like that burning coal that was touched to the lips of Isaiah. Be cleansed. Know that I am, that I am. If there's anyone in need of the invitation this morning, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.